Section 1. Influences. Module 3. The problem. Key points. Mises attempts to apply the ideas of methodological individualism and marginal utility to constructing a framework of rigorous, universally applicable rules in economics. He seeks to remedy flaws in the work of preceding members of the Austrian school. The concept of marginal utility, as revised by Mises, became the basis of neoclassical economics in the later 20th century. Core question. In The Theory of Money and Credit, Ludwig von Mises identified an example of circular thinking in the work of Austrian school founder Karl Menger. For Menger, in his 1871 Principles of Economics, money has a value which is determined by supply and demand. The fact it is in demand presupposes, though, that it has a purchasing power. So the conclusion, says Mises, is circular. The argument, for its proof, relies on what it is aiming to prove. One possible response to Mises's argument is simply to say the purchasing power of money today is derived by today's actors in the market by looking to the purchasing power it had yesterday. Yesterday, they looked at the value it had the day before, and so on. But this answer is not satisfying either, because it relies on an infinite recursion. The process has to begin somewhere. Mises's problem, then, was this. He wished to put forward the basis of a generalizable economics whose rules and principles were found in logic. To do this, however, meant taking issue with the work of the historical school, which argued that economic interactions were specific to a time and place and could only really be understood by rich investigation of particular motives, actions, and their contexts. Mises also, and in common with the founding members of the Austrian school like Menger, Wieser, and Bohm-Berwick, wished to put forward a universal theory based on methodological individualism and marginality. Methodological individualism is the requirement that explanations for social phenomena be based on the choices and motivations of individual decision-makers. Marginal utility looks to the additional benefit one further unit of a good or service will bring someone at the point they are purchasing it. Mises recognized the attractiveness of methodological individualism and marginal utility in grounding an economics based on universally valid logical axioms. At the same time, and for all its promise, he acknowledged that the work of first-generation Austrian school thinkers was incomplete and flawed. His question, therefore, in The Theory of Money and Credit is this: how can an economics based in universal patterns in the behavior of individuals explain what money is? And that being done, how can we apply the consequences of such a rigorous concept of money to offer reliable truths about credit, banking, and business cycles? The participants. Writing 130 years before Mises, Adam Smith described price in terms of supply and demand. However, like many classical economists, he was puzzled by what he described as the diamond water paradox, also called the paradox of value. That is, why are diamonds more expensive than water? As Smith says in 1776 in The Wealth of Nations, nothing is more useful than water, but it will purchase scarce anything. Scarce anything can be had in exchange for it. A diamond, on the contrary, has scarce any value in use, but a very great quantity of other goods may frequently be had in exchange for it. Smith attempted to answer the dilemma by saying price, as a value in exchange, is a different thing to a value in use. He then proceeds to focus on the first of these, value in exchange. For Karl Marx, writing Capital nearly a century later in 1867, this was a weak answer. Marx seized on flaws in how classical economists saw price to formulate his own labor theory of value. For Smith, the price of a buggy whip has just to do with supply and demand at the point of sale, and not the labor spent creating it. But for Marx, the true value of the buggy whip is indeed the amount of time required for a worker, or workers, of average skill and productivity working with average tools to produce it. The difference between this value and the wage workers receive, Marx calls surplus labor. Capitalists pocket this, and capitalist markets focus on the commodities themselves, thereby obscuring the deeper social relationships which produce them. Marx calls this commodity fetishism. Mises's teachers in the first generation of the Austrian school attempt to provide another answer to the water diamond paradox, which is closer to Smith's original thought. Karl Menger, writing The Principles of Economics in 1871, stressed that people make economic decisions under constraints of uncertainty, and they make these decisions one at a time about whether to purchase a particular additional unit of a good or service. The source of economic value is thus in the individual's mind, not how much labor went into a commodity or calculations steeped in perfect knowledge about the whole of supply and demand. This is the approach which Mises explores further and more systematically in The Theory of Money and Credit. The contemporary debate. From today's perspective, the rise of these ideas of methodological individualism and marginality are the developments that produce neoclassical economics in the 20th century, from out of the 18th and 19th century classical economic tradition represented by Smith. The widespread adoption of the concept of marginal utility within economics has, in fact, been called the marginal revolution. Marginal utility gives a greater explanatory power to economics rooted in the classical tradition. It also represents a response which Marx's Capital, whose first volume appeared in 1867, and economists inspired by him posed to the classical tradition. Today, Marxian economists continue to use Marx's labor theory of value and his concept of surplus labor. Meanwhile, mainstream economists, continuing the neoclassical project, use marginal utility as their most important concept. For them, every rational individual has a utility function, which represents how much utility or benefit they expect to derive from different amounts of consumption. But since individuals always make decisions under constraints of uncertainty, they will try to maximize their expected utility. A particularly influential way of describing decision-making under uncertainty, which draws from methodological individualism and marginal utility, is the von Neumann-Morgenstern utility theorem. This was created in 1947 by Hungarian mathematician John von Neumann jointly with Mises's doctoral student Oscar Morgenstern. Both Menger and Mises, however, rejected these mainstream mathematical approaches and the model building and statistical scholarship these approaches led to. There are some scholars identifying with the Austrian school today who continue to hold this position, such as Jesus Huerto de Soto at the Mises Institute. Huerto de Soto has described modern economic scholarship bitingly as based on intersection of mysterious curves or functions lacking any real existence, even in the minds of the actors involved. However, other contemporary Austrians, such as Stephen Horwitz, an economics professor at Ball State University, have argued Austrian school tenets can be expressed in terms of microeconomic and macroeconomic models. End of Section 1, Module 3. Coming up next, Section 1, Influences. Module 4, The Author's Contribution.